Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Two sons that are more popular in the family of Ibrahim alayhi salam. One is Ismail, other is Ishaq. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was born. When Ibrahim alayhi salam was 99 years of age, and Ishaq alayhi salam was born 13 years later. Some students, Darul Diyoban, there is a way that after the lessons, students ask questions. So the style of them asking is, they send a small note. So the start would read, and the Shaykh al-Islam Al-Muhammad Risab Rahmatullahi, the students were over fond of him. Some of his students, they tell you that at that old age he was so beautiful, can't move our gaze from him. Old age, they saw him in the 75, 80, at that time they saw him, but the look was so beautiful. Then he's from the ulad of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and added to that he's teaching hadith day in and day out, and added to all that, the Zuranadeen of that time, they say, you've seen a lot of things, but humility like this man you haven't seen. Mujahada like this man you haven't seen. He's coming in. He has made a condition with the madrasa that they must allow him for his political activities. So his whole effort was to free India. Saw the atrocities, the zulm, trying to force people to Christianity. He saw all these things here. So somehow he had to get these people out. So therefore said, alright, I prepared to come in. But then this condition that I mustn't be restricted. So Mulana is to go. So he's coming back from some conference, for a political conference, at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Then in Dioban, there is a bell that goes every hour. For 1 o'clock once, 2 o'clock twice. So now he's coming back. As he comes back, then the bell goes, and the student knows he is coming to class. All the students are coming to class. So the man that is so glued into deen, his night and day is just in sacrifice. Why won't he look beautiful? His namaz was such that army ekter keeps looking at him. Can't get that satisfaction, can't feel the ekter. Some of my studies will say that we don't want him to leave. If he's performing namaz, they will go behind him. So he can't leave. Just that look was so much. His look was so great. So the Shaykh al-Islam Sahib wa Sayyid Ahmad Madani Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. His life in Medina, his father had migrated. So his life in Medina Munawwara was such that his father is still coming up and they have to build a home. Now, in the Haram Sharif, his class is the biggest. Imagine Haram al-Madani, Haram al-Madani, and then his class is the biggest. Arabs, non-Arabs, they all flocking to his class. So you can imagine now what popularity he's got, what respect he's got. in the midst of his teaching, he receives a note that the father is doing some building and he needs some cement, whatever material he needs. He stops the class and just got some urgent work. He would carry the load himself, bring it to his father. Father is happy, then he goes back. The food also at that time is rationed, because they don't have so much of money, and the family is about 10. Right? The Murad Takolia was here just now, right? So he says he got 8 children, the 9th one coming up. Anybody to compete? So 9, 10 children they got. And sometimes the younger child, younger brother, so he feels that the ration is too small and he'll be crying. But I will say, I won't eat, I'll give my entire share to him. So it's an embodiment of mercy, embodiment of rahmat, embodiment of sacrifice. You can't find that. You have to just listen to the stories. We've come close to Islam, really. When I think about that, our proximity to Islam is listen to the stories, emulate them, follow them, see what they are like. And there is no such a thing like revenge, retaliation, like it was lost in their lives. They don't know about it. A mehman comes and he's a little bit pareshan. Boy makes it out. This person is pareshan. Makes it out. He's pareshan. So sometimes he doesn't have sufficient warm blankets. So Mona will give him his blanket, sleep, and he'll stick it out in the cold. Sometimes the person is got a problem, he can't sleep because he didn't pull his hookah still. Mona will go himself, arrange for the hookah himself, give it to him, and then come. But alhamdulillah, in this Madani family, up till now, based on the day that passes, that I'm sure 2 meals are being served every day. So they were 50 girls, 100 girls, but every day they are feeding. Ek langar khula hua hai. So bhi mehman aaye. Whoever comes, come in. Whilst the sabak is on, so at that time, they weren't these borders now, we have geographical borders. Afghanistan, Bukhara, Tashkent, all these places students are coming in. So one student, perhaps from Tashkent somewhere near Bukhara, said, Mullah, I'll stop the class now. I asked why. He said, tu to nashta karke aata hai. Mujhe abhi nashta ki tayari karni hai. You have a nice breakfast and then you come to class. And I still have to go and arrange my breakfast. But I heard that. I said, from tomorrow, you will have breakfast with me. Even spontaneous in front of the class, as though we'll take it as an insult, then how Mona took that? How he took it? He's delivering the lesson in the class, right? And the discussion is about Hayatul Anbiya, that the Anbiya alayhi salam are alive in the graves. Right? And then there's no reason for us to doubt this. When the Shuhada, Allah Bak says himself, لا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا بل أحياء. Right? They're alive. So I ask you, that the life of the Anbiya, is it anywhere less than the Shuhada? After the Shuhada, or above the Shuhada are the Siddiqeen, and then above them is the Anbiya. So when the Shuhada at this level, then what must be the level of the Anbiya alayhi salam? So they alive in the graves. وَلَحْيَاهُمْ إِنَّ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ They're not only alive, but they're enjoying themselves, provisions from Allah Ta'ala. So now he's delivering the lesson, and in the final years, the students fire up questions. So he's touching the topic of the Anbiya alayhim salam being alive in the graves, and the students are firing the Christians while answering. One Christian. And the last, all type of Christians. All type of Christians. One student is asking in the midst of the class, hey, what is this man? You know, you're over 75 and dharadhar bachche bhi ho rahe tumhare. You're 75. Okay, Arshad aa raha hai, Amjad aa raha hai. So the note comes to Mullah. So Mullah is calm. The class control, the calmness. But he's passed on a lesson. He says, Alhamdulillah, Khuda Ta'ala ka fazl hai. Ke maine apne jawani ko zai nahi kiya. I didn't lose my youth. My youth was protected very well. I didn't misuse neither my eyes, nor hands, nor myself. I didn't misuse. So up to this ripe old age, I still have maintained and secured my strength. So this question is coming out about the Anbiya being alive in the graves. And the students are this. And the class is such, in the final year, the student is allowed to speak what he wants. Point is valid, it's taken, answered. Point is taken, valid, it's answered. The Anbiya alayhim salam are alive in their graves. So, what is the description of that life? Allah knows. But the fact that Allah, the hadith says they're alive, they are alive. Someone had written an email about istiwa. So if I see, man has got a capacity of understanding, right? Is in all the faculties there is some limitation, right? He can work within his limits. Beyond the limit, he can't work. Like I ask you to look, you can look to a certain point, you can look beyond that, you cut off, aren't you? You can hear. To a certain point, you can hear. Beyond that, can't. Someone is practicing weights, so he can lift up, right? So there's a limit. You ask him to pick up maybe 80 kilos, he can pick up with weights and all that, training, maybe 100, 150. You ask him to pick up a ton, can't. So you understand that everything in this life has got a limit, right? When you've got a limit in everything, your reasoning also is limited. So when your reasoning is limited, so certain things you can't reason, and some things are beyond your reasoning. Right. Now, in this world also, there are different laws that Allah Pak has made for different creations. For us, we can walk, right, on the face of the world, of the earth. We have to walk on the floor, on the ground. Can you walk on the ceiling? But Allah Pak has a different law for lizards. This is one way that you walk on the ceiling. Don't you see that? So there's a different law there. For you, there's a different law. For that, is a different law. For us, we have to inhale above water all the time. And the fish within the water, they can inhale all the time. So Allah has created such a system that they can live within the water. Out of the water, they will die. And we will have to live above the water. In the water we will die. But different laws in this earth for different creations. So similar, in the hereafter there is a different law. Here there is a different law. And some things are within the range of our understanding and reasoning. It's alright. Reason. Some things are beyond the range of our understanding. So see, this is beyond my range. Leave it. Allah Pak opened that to you. What you needed in this life and what you needed in the hereafter. What you didn't need for this life and you didn't need for the hereafter, he hasn't made available, he hasn't opened it out to you. I asked you, Zalika al Kitabu la Rayba Fihi, give me the explanation, you'll give me the explanation. But if I ask you what's the meaning of Alif Lam Mim, I don't know. So some things Allah has concealed, some things he has opened. What you required for this life and what you required for the hereafter, Allah has opened. And what was not required for this life, nor the hereafter, then Allah Pak is concealed. So leave it as it were. Abhimu ma abhavahullah. Allah Pak is concealed, leave it concealed. Don't talk beyond it. It's wrong of you because la takhfu ma laysa laka bihi ilm. You don't have the knowledge of it, then why must you pursue? Why must you go behind some things that Allah Pak hasn't opened out? Just leave it like that. So how they're going to be living in the graves, Allah Pak knows. But the nas, the clear text of the Quran says that they are alive, so they are alive. So there's no need for you to go probe beyond that, and how they're living, or that's not your business, leave it to Allah. Well, people that are a little bit more circular minded, one student was asking me, they are a little bit American or that, he's coming from America now, that trying, that open thinking, right? So he's wanting to have some reasonings about istiwa, etc. So now, until you don't give them an explanation that affects them, then you keep questioning. So ask them, alright, see, you are here, right? America. And perhaps you're coming from India. I said, yes. You've been in India, yeah. So you got a house there, you got workers there working for you. America, you can't afford having workers. You have workers there, right? But workers' work is to sweep, clean the toilets, check the turf, all that is work, right? And one day that worker tells you, you know, boss, but you know, your daughter, I had a glimpse, she looks quite beautiful. But I like to see how she appears when she's undressing, you know. So what you do? You shout him, you give two kicks. Just do your work. You don't involve, don't get yourself engaged in this. This is my private affair. Would you have that? Yeah. So some things are Allah Pak's private affairs. So leave that to him. He hasn't opened it out to you, so leave it. Like you'll feel offended that why is this person probing into my private matters? So certain matters are Allah Pak's private, he's concealed it. When he's concealed it, he hasn't opened it out to you. So why probe into it? What was it? Tumhara kya chala jayega? What will you lose? If you don't know this thing, what will you lose? Don't fall into this. Leave it. He's the creator. He's made the Sharia. And certain areas, he's made it clear. Right? Anzala alayka al-kitab minhu ayatun muhkamat. Some verses are clear, categoric, right? Conclusive, absolute. Wa ukharu mutashabihat. And some have got ambiguous import. Don't know. So, those that are blessed, they understand that things that are ambiguous, just leave it out. Things that are clear, must go behind. Now, what was the need? What business you had to probe behind into these things here? So, we're coming back to Madani Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Demeanor, see, his akhlaq, his ways, greatness. Allah Ta'ala, habib unki tarah se unki sifat naseeb farmaya. Wa Rum rahmatullah says, aadmiyat shahmo lahmo pos nest. Wa Hazrat ji rahmatullah should say, hafiz banna asan. To become hafiz is easy. Maulana is easy. Mufti sahab is easy. Qari sahab is easy. Sheikh ul Hadith is easy. But what's the difficult thing is army bano. Sab kuch ban gaya. Army bhi bane. Kutub ban gaya. Lekin army ban gaya. Army bane. All these things are easy. But what's the difficult thing is to become a man. So that's the difficult thing. What it requires for you to be a man. So the requirement to be a man, aati kulli dhi haqqin haqqo. It's a long hadith, but let's explain the tail end. This is the khulasa of the hadith. So at any given time, any given occasion, you know what to do, how to behave in that situation. You mastered it, and you know exactly what to do at which situation. So that's called army. Now, you're acting because of convenience, because of your pride, because of your ego, right? That's not army. Your ego is hurt now, so now you have to react. So that's what Aadmi Andar. What does it require of you to be an Aadmi? Aati kulladhi haqqin haqqahu. Rasulullah SAW, look at him. One person asks for permission to come. So Rasulullah SAW once said, Aisha radiyallahu anha, bi'sa akhul ashir, not a good person. فَلَمَّا دَخَلَ أَلَعَلَ لَهُ الْقُلْبِ But when he came in, Rasulullah SAW showed him a beautiful demeanor, spoke to him nicely, good words. So the Aisha, she complains, but just before he could come, then you spoke negatively about him, but when he entered, you showed him so much of ikram, and you spoke to him softly, well, what happened? So the Nabi had to explain himself, why was that? The reason is obvious. The reason is, see, someone just understands. See, in Quran and Hadith, we have to take the time to understand the application. Just learning the tarjama and finish, that's not an alim. Understand where it's supposed to be placed, how it's supposed to be applied. Then you've understood it very well. You've got a dollar note, right? Say, paper, so good paper. We need paper to burn, you know? So you've got a $1 million bill, you got. Let's use it for firewood. Have you applied it correctly? So one is the content or the substance, and understand how it must be applied where. So like it takes an effort to acquire it, that note, it took an effort to acquire it. Now it's an effort to learn how to apply it. And now the problem we've got is we acquire the thing, but we don't learn how to apply it. So learn first what is Aadmi, what is man, and then learn also how to become a man. We just learn, oh, this is a man, the structure or construction of a man. But now, how, what is it, what does it take to become a man? Now, that's an important thing. That's even more important. So, Wa'arum Rahmatullah says, before that, let me complete the hadith. So now, say for example, Rasulullah SAW showed the person the ikram, etc., muhabbat, that, right? But he didn't show to Aisha radiyallahu anha what type of a person this man is. Now, someone comes to Aisha, what do you think about this person here? He sent a proposal for my child. What do you think about him? So obviously Aisha is going to give a beautiful recommendation that Rasulullah so spoke to him in such a beautiful manner. So he is a great person. Can you see that? And then that person turns out to be a rotter. So Rasulullah had to cover in both ends. So he's balanced, complete, comprehensive. That he's not a good person. Understand that. Right. Number two is when he's come as a guest, it's my duty to show ikram, no matter whatever he is, but I need to show him ikram. See, now, balanced approach, complete, comprehensive. And this pulled up face, the Shaykh says, it doesn't work for you, but leave that pulled up face. It's a common thing amongst women. But now, men also became a little bit like, orto ki tarah se ban gaye hai, pulled up face. Kya milega? If women do it, alright, they are deficient, na qisatul aql wa deen. It's alright, they pulled up. So, it's part of their makeup, it's alright. But it's not part of your makeup. Why must you act like that? Why must you behave like that? Now, he came for a recommendation. This person wants a credit facility. As Aisha saw, the Nabi spoke so well, so he must be an excellent person. Then, when he started working with him, he understood, this man is a fraud. Hey, why did you give me a bad recommendation? Why did you give me a good recommendation? Oh, he's a fraud. And this is the type of recommendation. So you see, the wisdom is balanced, complete, perfect. So our Buzugara Dimila, they were Naqsha Qadam in everything. What was the style of the wisdom? How he did it? How did he do it here? What did he do here? And then they applied themselves. This is why you'll find great Muhaddisin, like even Al-Mawr Salimullah Khan Sahib Rahmatullah. So the people in Pakistan about, say, 10 years ago, all would say, we can't find a Shaykh al-Hadith at that level. Sheikh al Hadith in the whole of Pakistan, we can't find a deliverer of Muaz Salimullah. Muaz Salimullah would say that I learned Hadith basically from two people, Hazrat Sheikh al Islam Sahib, and thereafter the notes of Hazrat Sheikh Muhammad Zakaria Sahib. And then they would say that the whole Hadith in practically the entire India, now Pakistan, Bangladesh, is all the barakat of this man, Sheikh al Islam Sahib. Can you see now the striving, the tawazu, the humility, how it pays back. Now the man is passed away 1957. It's over 67 years, right? That's 57 he passed away. But his books, his works, and his students are flourishing. So how grateful he must be wherever he is now, right? Alhamdulillah, I am gone, but my work is carrying on as though I am alive. So he's delivering the dars in Madina Munawwara. Understand, try and understand your Arabic, but who are they? And students are firing the questions. Hayatul Anbiya. Then just of a sudden, Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi looks towards the Rosa Mubarak. And when he looks all students, obviously when he's staring at one spot, the star, so that all the students also will look at the same end. And they see that there's no Rosa there. It's cleared, there's a throne, and the Nabi Sam is seated. Now they saw for themselves, they saw firsthand. When they saw firsthand, and then start continued with sabak, ab koi shubha hai, now have you got any doubt? So, anka mushahada, when you've seen ourselves, now what's the need to doubt? So we're talking of admiyat. So then what does it take to become an admi? Aati kul ladhi haqqin haqqahu. Every person, what he deserves, give it to him. Give it to him. So this person, in our language we would have said he's a rotter. But Nabi Sam, how did he treat him? So as though he gave him a chance, alright, I'm showing you that ikram, now you get up, come up. See, I didn't disregard you. I didn't ignore you. So I show you the respect now. There's a chance, there's an opportunity for you to come up again. Right? So he's given an opportunity to come up. Right? They say after that, then thereafter he changed his life. What he was and what he became. So now that is the magnificence of a Nabi. That he doesn't have that memory of storing any malice and old stories, old, whatever happened. He doesn't have the memory to store it up. He has that memory of his is now, how can I get this work done? لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ مُنِينَ. I must get this, for a limited stay in this world, I must get this thing going. I must get this thing, this wagon, I must get it moving. So how must I get it moving? Here, how must I get it done? Here, how must I get it? At any quarter, an alim is a warisul nabi. He is the successor, the heir of the nabi. So that fikr must be the same. La rahata ba'da al-yum. After this now, forget all resting and relaxing. So Ma'arum is saying now, that then what does it take to become an admi? Admiyat lahmo chashmo posnes. Man is not about a good fronting. How I look and how I feel. What's my status? Or what people think of me? That's not man. Now, over 90% of the world, this is the concern. That how do I appear amongst people? What people think of me? You're posting up your status. Doesn't it happen? Social media post up your status. So, 99% of the people, they're worried about how they appear. How? But that's not the gauge, that's not the criterion of Allah. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. If that was the criterion by which Allah Pak looks at you, yes, make it. But that's not the criterion. La yanzuru ila suwarikum. He doesn't look at that. When he doesn't look at that, then why are you focusing on that? Why are you worried about how people look at you? Al-Hadith mentioned the same thing. He says, if you're so worried about your status and how people watch you, then amongst people, if you got the best name, best reputation, best name, right? But in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, you're first class Jahannami. I say, is the status of any value? Is it of any value? Any essence? Amongst people, you the number one. You Bill Gates. You so much. But by Allah Ta'ala, you first class Jahannam. I say, is that worth anything? But on the contrary, if people despise you, they look down upon you, you are concerned, you're carrying on your work, right? But in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, you're first class Jannati. So, is this going to affect your jinn? What are you worried about that? Worry, waha dekhana hai ke kaise rahe. You have to be concerned, consumed with this fikr. Okay, when I reach Allah Ta'ala, what must be my position there? Yeah, unch neech to hoti rahegi. There'll be someone for you, against you. It's going to happen, it's going to continue. Lekin waha dekhana hai ke kaise rahe. See, what's your status like? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To admit lahmo chashmo post nez. Similarly, it's not about what type of financial standing you've got, how secure you are. It's not about that. It's not about your status, not your finance. It's not about that. It's not about how smart you are, right? Everybody finds that my child will be very smart and intelligent. So this is not the criteria, not the gauge of Allah Ta'ala. Either your reputation, your financial standing, or how smart and intelligent, that's not the gauge of Allah Ta'ala. Jus shikasta meena girat fazla shah. So if you want to be an army, then what? Then how do you get that? Jus shikasta meena girat. Everybody wants. Who doesn't like? And ustad also will like the bright student, right? Father also will like the child that is bright, right? Everybody will like that. But is that the criterion of Allah Ta'ala? The criterion of Allah Ta'ala is, the gauge of Allah Ta'ala is, man is simple, humble, broken down. He's got no other recourse within his mind. The only recourse I've got is Allah Ta'ala. La malja wa la manja minka illa ilik. That's my recourse. So then, all your effort must be invested in that. In that which will bring you to the level of Admi. In that which will make you accepted, give you that proximity. Choose shikasta mi nagirat fazlasha. That will give you that. So all your effort must be in that. Hey, what? How do I need to get this thing right? Broken down. Simple. Humility. And many people that have won the race, they won it because of this. Humility. By Parya Rahmatai, we were living first in Amzinto, they call it a small dwelling, they used to call it Ganaskoti, right? So, now one house, I lived there also sometime, so about 40-50 people are living there, right? So, it's planned well, everybody is at ease, no, I didn't hear anybody complaining. And I said, hey, it's a small house, and it's all squashed up, a place is squashed here. Here, with that 40-50 people, another 20 mehman come to find a place for them as well. And I didn't hear anybody complaining. Only, if I remember, only one toilet. And you won't see a queue at all. Ab kya hoga? Kya hoga? You have to have a low pad, high pad, special pad. So much you have to have. Then you're not short. And I never see all that. I never see any of that. But now, the simplicity in them, and that warns the people. So, coming to Durban was like a mission, you know, that someone hardly get transport. So, normally come by lift, or if some acquaintance, they take a lift. But, all the old, the aged and the weak, women, men, old, aged and the weak, each one will go, anything to get from town. He'll go himself, get this, get this, get this cotton, this thread, this wool, this jersey here, get it for me. With all that humility, all his work is done, and everybody's errands are run also. And someone says, hey, but you know, you got the wrong thing. He said, from here, he went up there, the button was wrong color, off color. It's supposed to be dark blue, you got off blue. He said, no smile on the face, no, I'll get that for you. Next time he went, he brought this thing again. But now, all this khidmat, then it goes, it accumulates to gain their acceptance. Their acceptance doesn't just come like that. It doesn't come overnight. You know, you heard this person nonsense, that person nonsense. You worked for this person, you did for him. And no remuneration. Not that it was getting remunerated by this person and that person or this person. No. Just for the sake of ikram. Just for the sake of akhlaq. Just for the sake of well-being. And then I seen that zamana, there was such a atmosphere of muhabbat, understanding, muhabbat. It was like this qawlum ma'rufum wa maghfiratum, good words and covering of faults. Look at the meaning of qawlum ma'ruf wa maghfiratum, covering the faults. Good words, polite, and covering is better than giving sadaqah as well. Khayrum min sadaqatin. Good words, kindness, covering the faults. And now we know the fault of someone is going to broadcast. Sometimes you have to broadcast it, but it's wrong. This person is talking about Christianity. He's against Islam. So we have to alert people, right? That's a different situation. It's a different situation. We have to warn people. It's different. But otherwise, it's a individual wrong. It's a wrong that relates to the individual himself. That we don't make a story about it. I know secrets of people from the age of 12 and 13. And by the fazl of Allah up till now, I haven't divulged. From the age of 12 and 13, people confide, I did this wrong. Major wrong they've done, right? But from that time till now, alhamdulillah, I didn't divulge. Sometime it affected my personal self. They wronged me, right? Major way, right? But I say, hey, finish now. Old stories, old. And I will classify myself. What's mine, nobody can take away. And what's not mine, can't come to me. Finish now. Why must I cry about it? 1,000, 10,000, 14,000. It's gone, or khalas. Tomorrow is another day. Why must you spoil your sleep, your eating, and your resting? Leave the day, tomorrow is another day. What is yours will come. Allah doesn't have only one avenue to give. Millions of avenues. One avenue is closed up. Another, he'll open up another avenue. So what are you crying for then? So you have to learn to become an Admi. Admi, you don't just become a man by just reading and all that. You can't. You have to learn how to become an Admi. Admiyat, what does it mean? Not about the image and reputation. Not about the wealth and abundance. Not about the brain and the intelligence. It's about humble. And then you ask yourself, then why humility and simplicity? Why is the emphasis on that? Why is the emphasis on that? The emphasis is on that for a simple, basic, logical reason. Right? Are you getting learned, educated, professional people, right? And you find someone slapping his father. Small mistake, give him one shot. Small mistake with his mother, doesn't want to see his mother, doesn't want to talk 2 months, 3 months. Is that insaniyat? The father will think at that time, had this child been an ordinary businessman, would have been and respectful and showed some other, it would have been far better than him being educated, graduated, etc., with all the degrees, all the money. Simple person, down to earth, but he's got some respect, he's got some ways with his parents, with his elders, would have been far greater for this child. But now he's got educated, he feels that he's financially secure, so nobody was come and manipulate and rule his life. He's messed up his life. He doesn't know what it is. He doesn't know. So you see the simplicity and humility, how it takes the person. And that person is liked and loved everywhere. Anywhere they go, in this party, this man is missing. We all came out in alhamdulillah, but this man here, he's the missing link. He should have come here. Then he should have been a real get-together. But now he's missing. Now what's the point of being here? Just that one person brings the color. But the color comes when there is that simplicity, there is that humility. Down to earth. Now, we're moving on to, we just started the Islamic year, right? Muharram. Right? So what's the day today? Sixth. See? Alright. Whatever it is. We spoke about Ibrahim al-Islam. And his two sons are more popular. The other sons also. But these two sons are more popular. The one son, Ishaq alayhi salam, in his lineage there are over 1,000 Anbiya alayhi salam. Banu Israel, tasusuhumul Anbiya. Kullama halaka nabiyun, khalafahu nabiyun. Anbiya would manage their affairs. One Nabi passes away and the other one takes on. So it continued. Now, what was the Nabi, what was the need for a Nabi to replace another Nabi? Now understand how it works. Understand the demographics, then you understand. See, man goes straight, right? And until there is someone to supervise and administer. But when this person goes away, then people go in different ways. Some are still on the line, some have moved on, someone is doing his own things. Right? Doesn't it happen? Like the star is in the class. So this good behavior, this attention, people are got the books, they got the pen and they're writing down. Ustad not coming today. So for the first 5 minutes it'll be like buzrugs. After that, you saw that movie. Hey, you're Liverpool. Hey, you're a kebab. You don't even know the score. Where are you living? So now they'll move away. They're still in the class, but they'll be moving on. Doesn't it happen? So now that's the description of mankind. When there is someone above, then they are moving straight. Someone to correct, someone to guide, someone to lead them, then they're going. And the man is gone, then they're going in different directions. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا الْهَوَىٰ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلِ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِ. Don't move on different directions. So there'll be different ways, different people will misinterpret, reinterpret, redefine. This side, going that side, going straight. Whole commotion. So in that respect now the Bani Israel were fortunate, they got 1,000. Here from Ibrahim alayhi salam till Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's just one Nabi. After Ibrahim alayhi salam, only Ismail alayhi salam, there is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No Nabi. That's why Allah says, Ala fatratim min al-rusul. When there was a lengthy intermission, interval, no Anbiya coming in. Now a Nabi comes. So appreciate this. Be grateful. And taqulu ma ja'ana min bashirin wala nadir. Yes, you may not say that. No one came to us. So now a Nabi has come to us. Ja'akum bashirun wa nadir. Allah sent you now, someone now. Appreciate. So on this side is just one Nabi. Now the Nabi's work is basically two things. Two important things that he has to attend to. One is people have gone far out. Whereas every Nabi's work was to call them towards the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. Every Nabi's work, that's now from Adam alayhi salam to the end, that was the work of the Nabi, call them to the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. And then there will be deviations from 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 4, etc. Until the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, now there's 360 idols around the Kaaba Sharif. Can you imagine now? How much they deviated? How much they moved? Right? That is the Arabs, right? And don't despise them, because we are coming from India, right? And Indian history shows that they had 550 million gods. Rain god, monkey god, snake god, Allah, that. But don't despise, because we're coming from the same place we come, we can't despise. For everything they got a god. 55 crore, how much? 55 crore means 550 million gods. So what a mess we were in. لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ مُنْفَكِّينَ حَتَّى تَأْتِيَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَةِ. They were so stuck to the ways, they wouldn't have moved away until a personality like Rasulullah had to come. And he smashed that whole idolatry complete up to today, 1400 years, and you don't hear a name of idolatry. So what a mission he's come, what a task he's accomplished. So that was the first thing to get them to Tawheed, to Ikhlas, to the oneness of Allah. That was the first work. And the second mission will be that people will make additions, commissions, interpretations, misinterpretations, definitions of their own, right? So now, all that has to be cleared out. Because you feel now, this is the right thing. He feels now, he's the right thing. He says, he's the right thing. So everybody got his own mind. Now, the Nabi's work will be now, all these extras that you've brought, just throw it out. Just get it out of the way. Now, in between, you'll ask one question. Alright. Now, after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was no Nabi, right?
So now, who is going to guide the ummah? So, يَبْأَثُ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِ كُلِّ مِيَةِ سَنَةٍ مَنْ يُجَدِّدُ لَهَا دِينَهَا. Allah thought with, He knows now how man deviates, right? So after every century, Allah will send someone to revive, get things right, get things back into order. One century passes, someone comes in. Another century passes, and someone comes in. Has to come, has to make it, bring it back to order, right? That's why most of the ulama say that the first mujaddid was Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullahi alayhi. Well, until that point, the hadith wasn't in one compilation, wasn't collated. It was in pages here, there, sections, this side, that side. But collated into one book, this is the accomplishment, achievement of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Sometimes I see Umar was really, really fortunate, right? Because he had pioneered the compilation of the Quran Sharif in the time of Abu Bakr. Who suggested? Who was the first person? It was his suggestion. When there was some battle took place, right? And a lot of shuhada, a lot of the qurra, the shaheed, he brought up this suggestion that get the Quran Sharif in one. You got pages here, you got pages there, but put it all together. All these ulama will go then, kya hoga phir? Abu Bakr was not in agreement. But when Umar showed the importance, we have to do it. Then they got Zayd ibn Thabit, they got the thing done. So he got the Quran Sharif one, and from his grandchild, Umar ibn Aziz, he got the Hadith right. So what a blessing. What a blessing. How fortunate this man was. And when I think about Umar radiallahu anhu, I think, Ramadan, we must make dua for this man. At least one khatam for him. Because he was the one that started of the Taraweeh namaz in Jamaat. Now, you are hearing this complaint. A lot of girls are becoming hafiz, but they're forgetting it, right? Now, the men, do they have a chance? Father say, on the musalla. Come on the musalla. 20 rakats, or nothing. I don't hear anything. You will be performing Taraweeh. Yeah? At the age of 30, 35, Father is going to get you. Did you do your Taraweeh? Do your door? Father may not speak too much about the girl, because she doesn't perform Taraweeh, right? He's not so concerned. But Father is saying, hey, abhi Quran Sharif bhul jayega, namaz mein kya padhega? What is he going to read in namaz? So, meri izzat ka sawal hai, he must see to it that he reads the Quran Sharif and reads the Taraweeh, right? So he became an excuse for us preserving the Quran Sharif. If it were not for him, then kya hota? Right. So the deviations, the misinterpretations, people going out, then their work is the work of the Anbiya is to bring them back. All that extras and all that, just prune it off and bring them back to the cause. Right. So this going off the cause is natural. I say it's natural. How do I say it's natural? See, the Quran speaks about Muharram, etc., right? إِنَّمَا النَّسِيُّ زِيَادَةٌ فِي الْكُفْرِ يُحَرِّمُونَهُ عَامًا وَيُحِلُّونَهُ عَامًا, right? So, this 12-month system, 12 lunar months, is from the day يُمَ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. It's not an invention, innovation, no. From the day Allah created the system, it was there. Like there's a lot of things that were planned from Allah Ta'ala from the very beginning. It wasn't an innovation, it wasn't an invention. It was there. So someone talks about the Big Bang, right? I mean, it just happened, coincidence. I remember I was in one masjid, so a science teacher, senior science teacher, telling me, hey, this thing is absolute trash. That's his words, it's absolute trash. Because when you talk of Big Bang, we think it's just an explosion and everything just came up, like a coincidence. But then very conveniently, the polar bear landed up in the ice, Iceland, and the camel with the three eyelids landed up in the desert. Now can you imagine, it just happened, that's coincidence. It's all planned and created of Allah Ta'ala, the design of Allah Ta'ala, the beauty, the comprehension, the perfection of Allah Ta'ala, His design, and that thing went through that, what was more conducive, and this thing came to what was more conducive to it. Now our problem is that we listen, reading all about this, right? My mind is just digressing, but the points are important. You know, if a person utters a word of kufr, right, under coercion, if his life is threatened, he's mafed, right? He uttered ukriha bil kufri, right? Illa wa qalbuhu mutma'innun, right? He's forced, his life is threatened, and he utters a word of kufr, then that's wrong, it's kufr, right? But I ask you now, that the person writes about kufr voluntarily, not because of coercion, not because his life or limb is threatened, but because he will secure the marks to get through the matric. So will this be amounting to ikrah or not? See, one type of ikrah, called ikrah mulji, your life or your limb is threatened. Then you utter a word of kufr, is marked, right? But your life and your limb is not threatened. Just that you will not get a matric certificate. Just that you can't be a nice fatty person, right? Because the certificate is what? To earn money. Money for what? Lifetime. What else? Anything else? Right? But to earn that, you have to write words of kufr, of evolution, Darwinism, Big Bang, all these things here. Now these things are absolute kufr, because he's working exactly against the Quran Sharif. Right? خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ. Allah Pak says openly that we created you of earth. And they say that no, one germ came and it evolved, and the germ came to a monkey, monkey to a donkey, to a bonkey. They're playing a real monkey trick with you. And you're believing it. So you went against the Quran Sharif, and you're writing, studying about that disbelief, you're writing about it. So make up your minds what that amounts to. إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان ولكن من شرح بالكفر صدرا. You are writing with an open pen, you're writing just to score that marks, just for that greed. Is it not compulsion, coercion, or it's for the greed? Ask yourself, is it for a lifestyle, or is it to earn that marks? What is it for? إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان. You are under ikra, under coercion, your life was threatened. That you are exempt. You are exempt, like Ammar bin Yasir radiallahu anhu, and he was exempt. He uttered those words. But now you're saying these words just for some type of a worldly material gain. Now, do you come under that, under the purview, or you go complete? Think about it. So now, until this time, what was going on? See, minha arba'atun hurum. From the time Allah created the whole system, 4 months were sacred. That means you couldn't war within these 4 months. So now, when the Anbiya are gone, they're doing their own things. When they're doing their own things, now they're locked up in war. When they're locked up in war now, suddenly, now, they're already in Shawwal. Shawwal you can fight, right? Because it's not one of the sacred months. But now you're about to just smash down the enemy. And now, 1-2 days time, you're going to see the moon of Zulqa'dah, and that is the sacred month. So how do you work it out? Now you can't fight the sacred month. But now you got the enemy, it's just a matter of smashing him down. So are you going to drop your arms straight away? So now they know that it's like a very crucial moment. So what they will do now, this year, Zulqa'dah, the sacred month is no more in Zulqa'dah, is in Safar. They shifted it over. From Zulqa'dah they pushed it to Safar. And Safar they brought it to Zulqa'dah. Understand? See how they shifted the whole thing. Right? So we may laugh at them, but the same thing is happening today. We're shifting things around, shifting the goalpost from this side, that side, reinterpreting, misinterpreting, redefining. So we're doing all this redefining, and we are at the same point where the pagans were, we are at the same point. But just that we don't realize that we are also in the same paganism. You know, we've got 3 minutes left. So I'm watching this whole drama from over 30 years ago. I know the American students here, right? So one of them is complaining, you know, our elders, whoever is referring to elders, when there's something that's happening now, TV, etc. So this is not too bad. So at that time I was just listening to it as a story, right? That's how the elders were guiding them whoever the elders may have been, Allah knows, but the elders were guiding them, that it's not too bad. Alright? After that, moved on. Now, one of those people that came at that time, now, he's an international stand-up comedy. What is his name? David? Remember? Chappelle, yeah. David Chappelle. He came, he was about 3-4 months, remember? Now he's a world artist now. Alright. But they will tell you everything clearly. How it appears, they'll tell you exactly. They won't mince their words. So he started from there. Then, the next line that they use after that was that don't be judgmental. That means if I'm sitting with your wife alone in the room and she is semi-naked, then you mustn't be judgmental. You know, it's haram for you to be judgmental. What I'm doing is, you know, my heart is clean. Heart is very clean. So you mustn't be judgmental. That was the second line that they used. Then what comes from America flows down here. So then people here, the orators, etc., are using the same line. Doing anything, but they cover themselves. The disclaimer is, what? Don't be judgmental. Then they saw that this thing was becoming a little bit old, so they had to use a third line. From not too bad to don't be judgmental, they had to use the third line. The third line they used was, let us agree to disagree. So anything, any disagreement, alright, we can live together. Let us, we are buddies, man. Anything, kufr, shirk, haram, zina, pork, everything, let us agree to disagree. See that? That was the third line. So this catching phrases, you know, these phrases are very attractive, appealing. So you go for those phrases. And then now, I was in the office and someone has brought the tape, you know, some clips come around. So now the famous orator, he's got it. Now the line they use is, it's not the ideal thing. So they asked that orator, that you know, but you are posing with a girl, someone's wife you are posing with. So he says, not the ideal thing, but he's, you know, you're capturing the moment, man. So you see the phrases that they use, capturing the moment. It looks so appealing. Huh? So now capturing the moment, I understood this very nice. Because there was a doctor and his wife, both doctors, right? Their story is about over 20 years. So now, I know from that time, now they're expecting the first child. So they want to capture the moment of delivery. Right? Now the child is 20 and he's showing the photo, capturing the moment. See that? Redefine. Now last week again, same, got the same class, orators, etc. So we want, you know, Muslim boys and girls to come before the camera and pose towards the world, to the world. Youth camp, we want boys and girls to come. We want chemical engineers, boys, girls. They must be journalists. Now, it's so appealing to them. But in the doing, what's happening? I ask you, are they on that verse, مَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ. Keep it pure. Don't dilute it. Don't mix it up. Or you moved off the tangent. Ask yourself. See this verse again. مَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Don't mix up things. Keep it pure. If you're mixing up things, cry to Allah Ta'ala that I've mixed up things and I'm not supposed to be doing these things, right? That the least that you could do, admission of guilt. I'm wrong. But now, you're giving it a cover, you know, a youth camp, Muslim youth camp, right? And girls must come, boys must come to stand before the camera. So what does it do to the public? Say, yeah, man, this is the type of Islam, man. See, moving now, they're moving, they can go for jihad, Palestine, and the cover is now the Palestinian cause. Now, won't it grip the heart of the mind?